Hello and welcome to the Science Fiction Book Review Podcast. My name is Luke Burridge and this is the show where I review every single science fiction book that I read as I read it. There's no set schedule, it's just whenever I finish a book I do the review and stick it up here on the podcast feed for everyone to download and listen to and hopefully enjoy. Joining me today is Juliana. Say hello, Juliana.
Hello, everyone.
And today we are doing an SFBRP short.
Yes.
Do you know what that means?
Short. It's going to be short.
Short episode, which is good because you're very tired. You had a big week.
No, big few weeks. Yeah.
Anyway, Juliana's a bit under it in terms of health, so we're just doing a short episode here.
Yes.
And also, you've not finished the book that I finished.
That is true. I don't even know how far I'm into it.
So don't worry too much about that.
Less than half.
Earlier this year, we read the third book in the, the Prefect Dreyfus series?
Yes.
Don't even remember the name. We were a little bit disappointed. By it was perfectly fine, but yep. It didn't really move anything along in the story. You know, it's like a prequel, sequel. Is it a prequel? And at the end of yep. that, I said, hey, what we should do is just read Chasm City because, you know, this is all, if you've read any of the Alistair Reynolds Revelation Space, yep. there's like this dividing line between stuff that happens after the Melding Plague hits Yellowstone and the Glitter Band and all this mm-hmm, other kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So, very advanced technology kind of area. But then a big plague comes in which disrupts all technology and people and people have technology in them and everything relies on technology to work. So when all of that goes to shit, what is it, 60 million people die? Anyway, it all goes bad.
Yeah.
But the Prefect, the series, the Prefect, the Prefect Dreyfus Emergency Trilogy
yes.
now.
Yes.
Is all set pre-melding plague. And you were sort of like, yeah, but what is the... And I was realizing, and I think I mentioned at the end of it, we should just read Chasm City because that's the one that most explains what the Melding Plague is and what it's like to arrive at Yellowstone and Chasm City and the Glitter Band
yeah.
and it
yeah.
all happening. And you're like, oh, shit, that's the kind of thing.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it feels really much, very much like I'm still missing a huge piece
yes,
of
there is a bit of a puzzle. There
yeah.
is a bit of a puzzle there. So yeah. anyway, I was like, hey, what we should do is read Chasm City. This episode yeah. is not about Chasm City, but
nope.
I found on the Audible Free Library, because I was just looking for some books, I'd read another one of those 16 Ways to Defend a World City by, K.J. Parker?
Yeah.
Another book set yeah. in that world, but not that series. But I was like, oh, I'm not even going to bother review that. But anyway, as I was looking for my next book to read, I realized on the free library that Chasm City was available as an audio book for free in
Ooh.
The Audible Free Library, and then it said available until May 31st, and I was like, oh, that's like 2 weeks. I'll have 2 weeks to listen to this audiobook.
So it's kind of like a library.
Yeah. So yeah, it was like, because of course maybe there's some rights things, or they made a deal with the studio or the recorder or whatever the rights holders thought. I'm like, yes, this
right.
is going to be available for free. People read that, and then hopefully they'll spend their Audible credits on other Alistair Reynolds books. That's always what you're aiming for here with these Audible free library kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's kind of feeding you a
yeah.
bit of knowledge.
And so I read that, listened to that, but also I noticed that another book by Alistair Reynolds called Diamond Dogs Turquoise Days
right.
was also available until the 31st of May. And I was like, oh, I'll check that out as well. Thing is, I know I've read it before.
Okay.
Because check this out. I go back to episodes lists
yeah.
on the sfbrp.com. Anytime that you're wondering, has Luke read this book or not? The best way to do is go to sfbrp.com, click on episode list, and you can then search in that list or sort by author and title and stuff. But if you sort by date added in 2008, we have here on the 5th of January 2008.
Very early on.
Very early in. Episode 5, so literally the fourth book of the Science Fiction Book Review podcast, I reviewed Diamond Dogs Turquoise Days by Alistair Reynolds. And it was one of those first like five books where I'd kind of like had saved up my recordings, like I'd saved up the episodes and then
yeah.
like recorded the intro episode, like the introduction. So
did you listen back to your review?
No, and I could have done actually, because that episode was back when I thought all of these reviews were going to be about 10 to 15 minutes long.
Yeah.
So the first episode with a review was 12 minutes, 10 minutes, 12 minutes. And then I did 13 minutes, 54 seconds on this book back then. So I could go back, but I don't like going back and listening to any episode before like episode 200, because that's not even proper science fiction book review podcast anymore, even though it is. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. But again, I didn't know what people always say, you've got to do at least 100 podcasts
yeah.
before you get good at, before you even know what your podcast is about.
Yes, that is true.
At least 50. But
just take it as any start is like no start. So just start it and
just start the first 100. So I listened to this book again, and here it is, two novellas. The first one, Diamond Dogs, is a dark tower, and you've got to go into this tower and solve problems. And if you don't solve the problems, you're punished in some way. Or if you get the problem wrong, you're punished in some way.
Okay.
So someone has found this tower found out about this tower. So comes along and finds a group of people who he thinks it's going to be good for him to be able to get through this tower, like to climb this tower and find out what's at the top of this tower.
Like he finds himself a group solves it with.
Yeah. So
like,
he's,
you know,
he's
like an escape room. With your friends.
Think of a series of escape room, but based on math puzzles, mostly math puzzles.
Okay.
So you get in a group of people and experts, you're like, all right, you're very clever because you've been trained for this. Oh, you're my friend. You're a security person. Mm-hmm.
You get together the...
Yeah. The heist squad.
Yes.
You have been touched by the pattern jugglers in this kind of thing. Yeah. Pattern jugglers have touched you. So you're really good at maths and these other people. And so what happens if anything goes wrong, one of the party will be punished in a way with like a spike through them, or they'll be chopped, so a limb would be chopped off or something.
Ouch.
And then they've got to go back and start again from the bottom, you know.
Okay.
But as they go through, the rules change. So this is kind of like a sentient escape room, a series of escape room towers.
Excuse me.
You are excused. And yeah, so it's a story with math problems, which are described. And it's kind of annoying because, you know, if you watch enough Three Brown, One Green or Number File videos and stuff, you're like, oh, right, I get this. Okay, whatever. Triangular numbers. Let's go. Very simple first room. And then it goes into the next one. And yeah, so it's about these group of people who go from Chasm City, Yellowstone, over there, and they have to do the room. They have to do the escape room.
Okay.
They have to do the cube. They have to do the, at the beginning of Indiana Jones, you know, all right, here's this puzzle. What do we do? It goes like that.
Yeah.
And it's a novella about that.
Okay. Are they doing it out of their own will or are they forced?
Yeah, I mean, there's some of them are paid to do it, but then it's a novel about obsession and what you would put on the line.
Right.
To do that, to get through this thing. And it's a pretty okay novella.
Sounds intense.
It is a bit intense. And here's the thing, waking up in the middle of the night going, oh, I'll just listen to a bit more of the story. And there's quite a lot of body horror, you know.
Yeah.
There's direct references at the start. They're like, oh, I woke up and I was in this room and then there was a cube and stuff like, you know, there's these movies called The Cube.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Have you seen The Cube?
I think I... accidental, because that's not the kind of stuff I'm interested in. I think
very clever movie.
I saw some bits and pieces about it.
Yeah, but that's like directly referenced in this at the beginning of this, and is Indiana Jones and stuff, because they're like, oh yeah, there's these old media that wanted to play in your brain to kind of get you in the mood for when you come out of cold sleep and you're at this planet where nothing there except this weird alien technology spire kind of thing.
Okay,
that's there as a test. And what's at the top? Don't know.
Mm.
And so yeah, it's a story about obsession and what we go, and it's fine, except that the second time I'm reading it, I was like, what are all these characters doing here, you know? And it was this strange thing. I was like, if you don't know what the story is and you're not quite sure, like the first time you read through, you don't notice some of the incongruities of like, why would you do it this way, why would it make sense? So it's kind of like, it's a fun read, but it is a bit boring when math problems are explained to you.
Right.
And I'm like, yeah, triangular numbers. And then it's like someone who isn't, you know, who you should get some like, you know, professors of, you know, these math professors that they get on the Number File YouTube channel where they actually sit down with some brown paper. Yeah. What I actually want is like this tower recreated, and each room is another lesson of, you know, is another Number File video.
Yeah.
So this one's about magic squares, and this one's about Parker squares, and this one's about, you know, all these different things as they go up it. So, but it's not that. It's Alistair Reynolds, who used to be like a rocket scientist or an astronomer, like, you know, ticking off these boxes. So it kind of works, but then it doesn't work. But the body horror does work, but then the characters don't work. But then the whole idea does work as finding like a weird big dumb object, or, you know, this kind. It's good.
Yeah.
But also it's not substantial enough. And it makes me feel like, oh, if this was like a background item in an Alistair Reynolds novel.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean. Like all the ideas that he normally has floating around in the back where he like describes what a starship is like, or there's like, oh, you're on this space station. Where does this space station come from? And he's sort of like, all right, this space station is actually two, like these starships shed their diamond skins. Mm-hmm. And so if you wait long enough, you can get two of these diamond skins and they're like cones, and you can put them together and spin them. And, you know, this is what you find out at the beginning of Chasm City, that the space station that they're on there is made of the shed diamond skins of starships that are updating the armor that they need to go through interstellar space without being annihilated by, you know, hitting particles at the speed of sound. So it's all these diamonds. And you're like, this is really clever. Like that it's just a world building background detail.
Yeah.
That a way to get a cheap habitat, you know, space habitat is to wait until starships shed their skins. It's like, that's clever. That's good. That's solid world building. Yeah. And this tower, this dark tower that they go to, could have been a bit better done. There's some twists and turns along the way, which are fun.
I thought so.
But I'm not going to give away, but there are some twists and turns here.
Any of the people we know, like from, like,
these two are like disconnected stories.
Okay.
I mean, it does mention like all of these stories do mention like the Sylvester family and all the, you know, the 80 or whatever it is. There's all of these things come up. So
ties back into it.
It's definitely a Revelation space world story.
Okay.
Also, the Melding Plague happens halfway through it.
Halfway
through it. So they leave to go there, and after they leave, the Melding Plague happens back home, and stuff
that's
like
an interesting point.
So yes,
in that timeline.
So that's Diamond Dogs.
How long is it?
It's wait a second. I brought up the Audible library here. So both books together are. Both books together is 6 hours and 58 minutes.
Okay.
So let's say 3.5 hours each for each one.
Okay, so it's about equal then.
Yeah. So moving on to Turquoise Days, and this is set on a pattern juggler world. So you find out a little bit, but not much more, about the pattern jugglers.
Yeah.
And like what they're doing there and why they're there. And their whole idea is that if you swim with the pattern jugglers, they can instill different, they can change your mind, not change your mind, but like
they can reprogram you.
You read about it in the Redemption arc and some of these other ones as well. And this is a little bit more details on that, but not a huge amount. But it's mostly about humans. Should humans play with things that they don't understand? Mm-hmm. In fact, a lot of this is about that because, you know, when we're reading about the wolves or what is it, the inhibitor phase, you know, all that kind of stuff. It's like, actually, always humanity is always on the edge of should we be doing, you know, should we be spreading out through the stars? Because that's actually a bad idea. If you want humanity to last a long time, what we should do is actually
keep together.
Not keep together. Just stay on one planet and don't broadcast any radio signals.
Be very still.
Certainly don't go out among the stars. Yeah. And the pattern jugglers have worked out a way to subsume. Actually, I don't know what the pattern jugglers are, but there's obviously all of these things that encounter the pattern jugglers, influence the pattern jugglers, and then influence what comes later.
Yeah.
There's also a little bit of a hint in this book about what was found at the top of the tower or what could be found at the top of the tower in the first book as well.
Oh, okay.
But either way, this book has got much better characters.
Yeah.
But the story is weaker overall. Both of them are just a bit sad, if you know what I mean. Like, it's really difficult to have a Revelation space novel which ends on a hopeful note. And that was kind of what was fun about The Prefect, certainly the first two books.
Yes.
Was at the end of them, you're like, great, the good guys win, and everything's great. But there's always this, like, thing hanging out in the back of your mind, someone's going to get the cash weapons, and then they're going to mess this up, and then the Melding Plague is going to come, and then they're going to abandon the things, and the pigs are going to go across. You know, all of the grim stuff, all of the, like, horrific stuff which always happens in these books.
Yeah.
Like, Alistair Reynolds can write a lot more hopeful science fiction, but these books are not that.
When is this from? When was this written?
I don't know, actually. 2002. So all of these books, you know, Revelation Space was like 2001. This is 2002. Chasm City, also 2002. And the whole of that series came out, you know, between 2001 and 2005 or something.
That's interesting. Do you think also that might have had something to do with the, you know, the millennial and like that whole... era.
I don't know. But it's just, like, again, all of these books now are getting on for 20, like, it's all approaching 25 years old. So stuff, these books, which I read in I read Revelation Space in like 2001 or 2002, you know, and I've often mentioned that the book, it was Absolution Gap was the one of the reasons why I started this podcast, just to have a list of books that I'd read for me to stop continuously picking the same books off, off the shelf with a spaceship and a planet in the front of their cover and reading it and going, oh, I like Alistair Reynolds, and then getting through the prologue and going, all right, I've read this book once, and then I've also read it again twice more, you know what I mean, or started reading it again twice more, forgetting that I'd done it. That's it.
I had one more question, and I know, just because we went on a bit of a tangent here.
Do you have a question?
I'm trying to think while I'm talking.
Right, you think of a question. I'm going to rate this book. This is actually a book because it's like two novellas stuck together into a kind of novel length kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give it 3.5 stars. And back in January of 2008, a full 16 years ago, at the start, more than 16 years ago, at the start of this podcast, I gave it 3.5 stars. Turns out, 16 years, read this book 16 years later. But it actually makes me think now about these other books here. If I reread some of these, Fire in the Abyss, Peter F. Hamilton, Fallen Dragon, gave that 4 stars. Some of these books I have read more than once, so I probably wouldn't read them again. But Outcasts of Heaven's Belt, Venus of Dreams, that's Joan DiVinci and Pamela Sargent. You know, some other early books here that I read.
So your own list could become a bit of an inspiration
Maybe I want to read Fallen Dragon again by Peter F. Hamilton, but it's kind of one of his lesser books. It's like a standalone book, and it's although I did give it 4 stars, so maybe it's actually pretty good. Let's wrap it up there. Do you remember your question?
Yeah. How was the audiobook narration?
Audiobook narration was fine. It is here, narrated by John Lee. So it's kind of like, it's like the most obvious thing. An Alistair Reynolds book narrated by John Lee, and it's fine, you know. Awesome. It's good. But sometimes he's got a lot more to work with, you know. Put it this way. Most often he's got more to work with. A larger cast of characters, you know, different viewpoints, different people he can give different accents to. And here it was like, here's like 5 characters in this first book and 4 characters in this second novella. Just not a huge amount to work with. But it's fine. 3.5 stars.
Okay.
The next book that I'm going to review
is,
well, whenever you finish Chasm City, we'll do Chasm City.
Yeah.
Another book that I'm going to review is Rogue Moon by Algis Budrys.
Okay.
That's the book that I'm reading on the iPad.
Oh,
I'll
probably
finish it this
evening. It looks really old.
Oh, it is an old book. It's a book from like 1959.
Okay.
And that's why I could just...
Is it like a PDF form?
It is in a PDF form. What? I'm not going to talk about it now.
Okay.
When I review that book, it'll make a lot of sense why I've read it. But you'll have to listen to the next episode or the following episode of this to find out why I read this book. But you'll understand it, and I'll finish it, and we can maybe do it this week or Saturday, mate. Friday or Saturday, we'll do another episode.
Sounds good to me.
All right, that's it for me. Thanks a lot for listening, and we'll catch you next time.
Goodbye.